Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning to worship together in the house of God. My name is Lauren Elias from Rhineland, and I'm happy to be here with you this morning, and I'd like to greet you with the words found in Galatians 1, verses 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning, I have prepared a message that I have titled, Have You Counted the Cost? And everything comes at a cost. And if you go grocery shopping or you fill your tank with gas, it's very evident that the cost is greater than it was 2 years ago. And if you want to maintain the same quality of life, you've got to cough up some more money to make the purchase. Things that we used to buy without thinking about it twice, now you wonder, is this really something that I need to spend money on? Sometimes we wait for payday to buy certain things, or we save up money until we have enough to make a purchase. All of this takes some deliberate thought and some planning so that we don't come up short when we're standing at the cashier's till. None of us likes to have items on the counter at the cashier and then find out we don't have the money to pay for it. We don't have cash, or the debit machine denies our transaction. We don't like that. And sometimes we're surprised that the cost is so high that we begin to reconsider our purchase. Well, the message we will look at today will be looking at what the cost is of the greatest purchase ever made, our souls. And what does that mean for us as believers? Have we counted the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? So before we go into the message, we're going to have some songs, but let's bow for an opening word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us together here in your house to worship. And Lord, we ask that you would just bless the souls that are gathered here, and that you would soften our hearts to hear your word so that it would mold us and shape us into who you desire us to be. Lord, we ask for your strength and your wisdom. Lord, I ask that you would be with my mouth and my lips as I would speak this morning, and my heart, that what I would speak would be according to your word only, and that you would give me the courage to speak what needs to be spoken, and the wisdom to speak what is right and good. And Lord, we just thank you for your continued help and strength in every day of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
End of Blue Hymnal number 243, Rock of Ages. Number 243. I'd invite you to stand.
Sam. cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, fall I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages, clap for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Number 219, He Leadeth Me. Number 219.
Oh yeah, right. That's right.
Number 292, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 292.
Thank you for that singing, and thank you to the song leaders for leading us in singing. And I believe singing is a great blessing that we have, and that God has given us that gift of music. We have a 4.5-month-old baby in our house, and when he's not happy and he doesn't want to sleep and you're holding him and he's crying, and you can talk to him and you can say things to him and it doesn't make a difference. But if you start to sing to him, it's amazing how he can calm down in a few seconds and everything is different. And I think that is just, you know, music is a creation from God, and I think it's a great blessing for us. For the message this morning, as I said, it's titled, Have You Counted the Cost? Or Have You Counted the Cost of What It Means to Be a Disciple of Jesus Christ? And our first passage of Scripture I'm going to take from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Luke 14, 25 to 33. Says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So here, Jesus is instructing the people, and he lays down some principles for being a disciple. And he says, if you want to be one of my disciples, you need to forsake everything else. And he's not saying now we need to walk away from our families or anything of that sort, but he is saying that God should have preeminence. He should have the highest position in our life, and everything else must fall into line behind him. Our relationship with God is number one, and family, even those closest to us, must be behind God in our priorities. Now, that doesn't mean that our service to God can mean that we neglect our families. That's not what the Bible tells us, because the Bible is one book that all works together, and in other places he tells us to care for our families, to provide for our families, to make sure that our children are being instructed and cared for. So he's not telling us to forsake them, but he is saying that when doing the Lord's will conflicts with what the pressures of this world are trying to do to us, the pressures in our family are trying to do to us, serving the Lord comes first. And so everything has to be in its proper place and in its proper order. He says, And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That is telling us that there is a cost. There is a burden to bear. And this burden, this cost, is not talking about salvation. There is nothing, no burden you can bear, no cost that you can pay to gain salvation. It is impossible, because that cost was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ when he died for our sins. This is talking about if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have been saved, don't expect everything to be perfect. He is saying, with following Jesus Christ, there are going to be certain things, certain bumps in the road, certain conditions, certain things that are going to make life difficult at times, but they are very necessary to understand for a believer. Just like this example he gave of someone, if they wanted to build a tower, he says, don't they sit down first and figure it out, get some estimates, get some costs together and see how much this is going to cost to do this project, and then look at your financial situation and see, can I in fact afford this? And in the same way with us as believers, when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, or when we are placed in that position of putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we should consider the costs that come with it. Are we willing to pay the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do we really, in fact, want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ if this is what comes along with it? So in this passage, we could see that there is a definite cost involved in being a disciple of God, and we are no longer our own, and we must yield everything to him. So are we willing to take up our cross and follow him no matter where he might lead us? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Another familiar story of a story that Jesus told. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So this young man wanted to know, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So these are commandments that God reminded him of, or Jesus told him. He says, keep these. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So here this young man, he wanted eternal life. So Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. And he says, well, I've done all those things since I was a child. But I don't think he recognized how often he had failed at those things. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, that's what you've been told. He says, but Jesus says, but I say unto you, if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So this young man most certainly had broken these commandments. If not outwardly, he had broken them in his heart. But he told Jesus, well, I've done all of these things since I was young. So Jesus said, okay, I'll make this a little bit more clear. He says, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And it says, the young man went away sorrowful because he was very rich. He was not willing to pay the cost of what it meant to follow Christ. Jesus knew that this man's riches came between him and following Jesus Christ. And so he pointed that out to him and showed him that unless you put this behind me in your priorities, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. He was not willing to pay that cost, and he walked away. He was not willing to give up his riches to gain an incorruptible crown and for an everlasting life. Then in 2 Timothy, there is another young man or another man Paul talks about. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he is writing to Timothy, he mentions another person. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So this Demas, who had been with Paul, I believe doing some work in the ministry with Paul or being a helper of some sort, but Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. This man, Demas, also loved the world too much. He was not willing to pay the cost of what it meant to serve the Lord. And so he forsook Paul and left because he did not want to give up the world. So what are you hanging on to? Is there something that you are not willing to give up for Christ? Is there something that is holding you back from serving freely? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So here we can see a parable about different people, different circumstances in life, different groups of people. And there's the one group of people, which is the seed, that is the, or the people, these are the stony places that we are described as, or the people are described as stony places. And it says, when the seed is sown in the stony places, it talks about those who, they spring up for a while, but they have no roots. And then it says, as soon as tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, so this is not persecution because of, you know, what color our skin is or because of, you know, our status in society. This is saying tribulation or persecution that ariseth because of the word, which means that this is persecution because you are following Christ or because you are identifying with Christianity, with Christ. So when persecution will come in that area of your life and you don't have roots, it says they are offended. You know, those that were sown in the stony places, it says they had not much earth and they sprung up. But when the sun came up or when the persecution hit them, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. How deep are our roots in Christ? How deep are our roots in the Word of God? You know, it's easy to imagine that we will be true to the Word of God even in the midst of difficult circumstances. You know, we can think, you know, if persecution came or if this happened, you know, I would stand firm. I would not yield. But do you remember what Peter said? He said to Jesus, you know, I will go with you even unto the death. And Jesus looked at him and he says, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter had full intentions of standing strong, but when difficulty came his way, he caved and he denied Christ. See, we often fail to recognize that we have no idea what kind of challenges we will have to face. I read listened to a story of a gentleman who was in prison for his faith for 2 years in Turkey, I believe it was. And he had been a missionary in that country for 25 years, I believe, before he was imprisoned. And he said he was not prepared for how difficult it would be to stand strong in his faith while in prison, especially being the only Christian there. And so he was encouraging people to grow deep roots and to strengthen ourselves before we encounter those kind of circumstances. So, do we correctly understand what the Bible says about what it means to live the life of a believer or of a disciple? Or do we have the wrong impression? Do we believe this is going to be an easy ride? The Bible never promises us an easy ride, but it does promise us help for the journey. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So the Bible is very clear that there will be persecution if you are following Jesus Christ. And it does not need to come from a communist government or from some kind of oppressive regime, but it can come from any unbelievers around us. But Paul said, of all the things that he had endured, he said, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. The Lord had been faithful to him and had delivered him. And it was not, if you read the story of Paul, you can see that that doesn't mean that it was always happily ever after. But it meant that the Lord had walked with him and carried him through these difficult situations. And ultimately, he would be delivered with the blessing of eternal life. And he would be removed from all of these difficulties here on earth. So just like the cost of our physical needs has gone up in the last year, how groceries and gas and everything just keeps going up, the same way the cost of being a servant of Jesus Christ is also going up. There is inflation in the life of a believer. And it may end up costing us more than we bargained for when we stand at the cashier's till, when we come on different circumstances of life and the tally is counted up, we realize this is going to cost me a lot more than I bargained for. Am I still willing to follow through with the purchase? Sometimes the thing that is holding us back is not the difficulties that we face, but sometimes it's a wrong understanding of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is very clear that there will be much difficulty in this world, but He does not leave us without hope. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, John 16, verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know, we are going to have tribulation here in this world, but let's remember, Jesus has overcome the world. The price for our salvation has been paid. There is hope for us as believers. This world and its tribulations is temporary, and God has overcome the world. So we can have hope. We need to understand that, and it makes the difficulties we encounter a lot easier to bear because we are not taken by surprise. We are not shocked when it's not easy. But we are prepared and we know that we have someone who walks with us and will help us in the midst of these dark times. In 1 John chapter 2, I know we're moving around quite a bit here, but the Bible is full of great hope and encouragement for believers. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So here we can see that those who did not count the cost and are offended, they did not really have a commitment to Jesus Christ. They did not, you know, they may have carried the name of Christ in vain, but it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So they left. People leave the body of Christ. They leave the church. And they follow after the world and after their flesh, because they are not willing to pay the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. They did not continue on because they were not willing to submit to the leading of Christ. And so then they start to serve the purposes of Satan and working against what God would have them to do. In Luke 9, verse 62, Luke 9, verse 62, we are given a warning where it says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, are we looking back? Are we longing for the world? Are we longing for the things of this world? Or are we keeping our focus on serving the Lord and plowing a straight line? Or are we wandering all over the place, creating furrows where there shouldn't be because we're so busy looking back at this world? You know, how is your commitment level? It's sad to see people fall away, to turn away from God. And in John chapter 6, there was a group of those who did not want to pay the cost. John 6, verses 66 to 69. Jesus had presented to them some teachings that they could not accept. And then in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So here a group of, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They could not accept what Jesus was teaching them. They could not accept the cost associated with following Jesus Christ. They could not give up their old doctrines. They could not give up their old traditions. And they were offended, and they walked no more with him. And Jesus said to his other disciples, he says, will ye also go away? That is the question he is asking us today. Will ye also go away? Will ye turn back from following Christ because the cost is too great? Or will we continue on resting in the promises of Jesus Christ, knowing that he has made a way for us, that he has paid the price, and that no matter what comes our way, he will carry us through every difficulty? In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your elders, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, we were redeemed with something that can't be bought or sold, not with earthly things that are going to burn up one day, but we were bought with the precious blood of Christ. Our salvation was purchased by Him giving His life for us. Are we willing to suffer some inconvenience for Him, seeing as how He gave everything for us? In closing, I would like to just encourage us out of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verses 18 to 30. Sorry, I'll just read a portion of that passage here. But it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know, we can't compare the trouble we, and some people suffer immensely. I have no idea what suffering is really like. You know, I have heard stories of people who have suffered immensely, and that is not my story in my life to this point. But I don't want to belittle suffering. Suffering is something that can be unimaginably difficult, and many of you have probably suffered on levels that I can't even imagine. But even that, he says, is not comparable to the glory which will be revealed in us when He returns and when He calls us home to be with Him. This will be just a dim memory. You know, He is going to reveal such a glory that all of this, you know, there's a song that says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. In verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." So we are waiting to see Christ. It says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" And I'm going to leave it there. But it, you know, we are going to see the redemption of our bodies. We're going to see ourselves being delivered from bondage. We are going to see the salvation come to its fullness one day. So let's cling to that hope. And if we have not put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, do it today. Put your trust in Him so that you have someone to walk through you, those difficulties with you and to help you. And let's not be deceived thinking it's going to be an easy ride. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You have paid the cost. Lord, that You have paid the cost for our salvation and that we don't need to do anything for that, Lord, but to put our trust in You. But Lord, we ask for Your strength to bear the tribulations and trials that come our way. Help us to grow deep roots as we walk with You, so that when they come our way, we would not be caught by surprise. Lord, may we cling to you and walk with you and give you all the honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And so we have the opportunity to kneel for a silent word of prayer for anything that is on our hearts. If you have anything to bring to the Lord at this time, I'd ask for those of you who are able to please kneel with me for a silent word of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I have a few announcements here. The Sunday School leadership wants to thank you for they have reached a goal of 200 shoeboxes. And so they asked to thank you for it because it's your support that brought it so far that they could reach that goal, so they have filled 200 shoeboxes. And there was a question, a request for if there's any couples in here that would be willing to do the DVBS. We are still in need of two couples. And if you would be interested in doing it, then just forward that information to Ruben and Eva Panner. I think they are that have done it until now, so just forward it to them. And then the other thing is we have decided to go through Revelations again, and Reverend John Schrader asked if I would just announce it here today that we have decided that we will. There was a request for it, so we will study through Revelations again, a Bible study, so you all know if you're interested in coming, you're welcome to come. Thank you. May God bless you.
I'd like to also thank you all for coming, for taking the time to join us in the house of God this morning, and I pray that you will be blessed by the word of God this morning. And I'd like to just leave you with a benediction found in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may now go with the peace of God.